Daniel chapter 6.
It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with three chief ministers over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them, so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the chief ministers and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the chief ministers and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs. But they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him, because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God." So these chief ministers and satraps went as a group to the king and said, "May King Darius live forever. The royal ministers, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce a decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered, in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed." So King Darius put the decree into writing. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. "Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or human being except to you, your majesty, would be thrown into the lion's den?" The king answered, "The decree stands in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed." Then they said to the king, "Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, your majesty, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times a day." When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sunset to save him. Then the men went as a group to King Darius and said to him, "Remember, your majesty, that according to the law of the Medes and Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed." So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "May the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done anything any wrong before you, your majesty." The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. At the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den, along with their wives and children. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Then King Darius wrote to all the nations and peoples of every language in all the earth, "May you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions." So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus and the Persians.
Forgive me using a well-known cliche, But if you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? If people looked at our lives, would they see prayer, godliness, love for the Bible, evangelism, generosity, and so on? Or, if we were arrested for being Christians, would we actually look just like our non-Christian friends? Here in Daniel 6, we meet a man who lived what he believed. Daniel is a man of such integrity that he goes on living as a believer even when that becomes illegal. You may remember the context. Daniel is the story of kings who are humbled by the living God. Nebuchadnezzar is the Donald Trump of his day. He's the most powerful man in the world. And God humbles him. Very painfully, he takes away his sanity. Belshazzar is another king. He thinks he can use the silverware from the temple in Jerusalem for his drunken and idolatrous party. He's humbled. In fact, he's killed. Now, Darius represents a new empire, the Medo-Persian Empire. Darius thinks he can take the place of God. And God humbles him. Three things to show you. There are some sheets of paper on the table with the outlines on. Remember the faithful servant. Reject the feeble king. And rejoice in the God who is to be feared. We can learn much from Daniel. We can learn more from Christ. We must worship the God who alone is to be feared. Firstly then, remember the faithful servant. Verses 1 to 10. Verse 1, it pleases King Darius to develop his civil service. And Daniel, verse 2, is made one of three chief ministers. But verse 3, Daniel so distinguishes himself among the chief ministers that the king plans to set Daniel over the whole kingdom. This, as you might expect, provokes jealousy of Daniel. And verse 4, the other chief ministers and satraps try to find grounds for charges against Daniel. But they are unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. They realize that the only way they might be able to make a charge stick is if it has something to do with the law of his God. So, the chief ministers and the satraps go to see the king. May King Darius live forever. Verse 7. The royal ministers, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. And what does the king do? He puts the decree in writing. He's a complete idiot. Now it stands and cannot be repealed that no one can pray to anyone other than the king. And if they do, they're going into the lion's den. Now what will Daniel, this faithful servant, do? Verse 10. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. 3 times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Daniel gives his enemies the evidence they need to prove that he really is a follower of God. The evidence is unmistakable. He's by his window. He's on his knees. This is willful, civil disobedience. As such, this is very unusual in the Bible. Normally, the Bible commands that we obey civil authorities. But just sometimes, the state dictates something which goes against God's word. At that moment, conscience dictates that we obey God, not man. This is what Daniel does here. He's going to be arrested for his faith, and he gives them all the evidence they need to convict him. Remember, this comes after 70 years of faithful service to the Babylonian and now the Persian regime. Daniel is an Israelite. His home is in Jerusalem. He is an exile in Babylon. But Daniel gets thoroughly involved in the life of the city. He's been obeying the prophet Jeremiah, who advises the exiles, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Jeremiah 29, verse 7. Daniel is not a serial rebel. He's obedient to the civil government. But at this point, Daniel realizes he must obey God, not man. And it gets him into trouble. Just as Jesus was falsely arrested and tried and punished. And for this reason, of course, Daniel values prayer. No doubt the reason for his long ministry is that he prayed 3 times a day. Despite the busyness of his schedule, 3 times a day, there he was in prayer. The preacher John Piper also prays 3 times a day. Commenting on this passage, Piper says, "And good old Daniel in the Old Testament is a great example of spontaneous and structured prayer." Because we know that Daniel, in critical crisis moments of his life, offered up quick prayers to God. "Oh God, help me. I'm being asked here that I don't have an answer for." And where did that come from? Well, Daniel 6:10 says, "When Daniel knew that the document, namely that nobody can pray except to the king, had been signed, he went to his house where he had his windows in the upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed. and gave thanks before his God, as he had done previously. That was his pattern. He continued his pattern of disciplined 3 times a day prayer, praying and giving thanks before his God, as he had done previously. So the point is that Daniel lived a life that combined disciplined 3 times a day prayer with spontaneous encounters with God. And I think that's it, the way it should be with us. If we hope to pray without ceasing, in the way the Apostle Paul calls us to, enjoying that kind of continual communion with God and that repeated coming to him, we're going to need to develop disciplined times of prayer as well. And of course, Jesus is the great example of this. Mark 1:35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Daniel needed structured, regular prayer. Jesus needed it. How can we say we don't need to pray? We'll never be a faithful servant of God like Daniel if we don't make a priority of prayer. Maybe that means getting up early to pray. Maybe it means setting aside some other time. We mustn't be legalistic about when. A doctor friend of mine, who is very busy, finds that bedtime is the best time to have a quiet time. You'll have to work out what suits you. As I say, John Piper has 3 times in the day when he prays, as well as spontaneous praying. So, remember the faithful servant. Secondly, reject the feeble king, verses 11 to 19. You would think, looking at this from the outside, that Daniel has no power, he's just fallen foul of the law, and King Darius has all the power. He makes the law. But nothing could be further from the truth. Daniel accesses the power of God through prayer. Darius knows nothing of this. Verse 11, Daniel's enemies, the other chief ministers and the satraps, etc., go and find Daniel praying and asking for God's help. Verse 12, they go to the king and remind him that he published the decree that nobody could pray to any god except himself, and that the guilty would be thrown into the lion's den. The king answers with great foolhardiness. The decree stands in accordance with the laws of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed. Hoist with his own petard is a phrase from William Shakespeare's play Hamlet that has become proverbial. The phrase's meaning is literally that the bomb maker, a petard is a small explosive device, is blown up, hoisted off the ground with his own bomb, and indicates an ironic reversal or poetic justice. The phrase occurs in a central speech in the play, in which Hamlet has discovered a plot on his life by Claudius and resolves to respond to it by letting the plotter be hoist with his own petard. Darius is hoist with his own petard. He's blown up by his own bomb, so to speak. Immediately he said this, verse 13, his favorite chief minister, Daniel, is apparently doomed. Then they said to the king, Daniel is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, your majesty, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays 3 times a day. When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sunset to save him. Here we see the king in his powerlessness, in his feebleness. He's a joke. He stood in the place of God. He has no power. He bitterly regrets what he's done. He's going to lose the one man he values more than anyone else. Verse 15, the men go as a group to the king. They remind him of his own law. He has no choice. Verse 16, he has to give the order, and Daniel is thrown into the lion's den. However, the king is very clear that his sympathies are with Daniel. May your God, whom you serve, continually rescue you. This is a very strange sight. A king passing a law, enforcing a law, which he hopes will fail. He now realizes that he can't stand in the place of God. He now realizes how wrong he was. Well, verse 17, a stone is brought and placed over the mouth of the lion's den. It is sealed with the king's own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles. The king goes home for the night. He can't sleep. He can't eat. Learn this lesson. You can't take God on and win. Stop rebelling against God. He will win. At first light, verse 19, the king hurries to the lion's den. Which brings us to our third heading. Rejoice in the God who is to be feared. Verses 20 to 27. Darius calls out in verse 20, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? Daniel answered. How wonderful. Daniel answered in verse 21. May the king live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty. Well, the king is overjoyed in verse 23. Daniel is lifted from the den, and there is no wound on him because he trusted in God. Not so Daniel's enemies, verse 24. At the king's command, they are now thrown into the lion's den, together with their wives and their children. This is Persian justice. The Bible doesn't necessarily approve of the children being killed. But this is what happens. And Darius issues a new decree to replace the one that got Daniel into trouble. Verse 25. Then Darius wrote to all the nations and peoples of every language in all the earth, "May you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions." We learn a lot about God here. He is to be feared. Everyone must fear and reverence God. To fear God means to respect him so much that you obey him, and that you are so afraid of the day of judgment that you are frightened of disobeying him. The fear of the Lord is a wonderful thing in the Bible. The fear of the Lord sets us free from all other fears. We don't fear people or situations because we fear God alone. And we know that God is in absolute control and he loves us. So the fear of the Lord sets us free from all other fears. We learn here that God is a living God. Well, he proved that by rescuing Daniel. We learn that his kingdom will never be destroyed. What did Jesus teach us to pray? Your kingdom come. Align yourself with this kingdom. Serve the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. But if there is a clash of loyalties, align yourself with God's kingdom, because it will never be destroyed and it will never end. Verse 27, God rescues and he saves. This brings us to Jesus. Daniel is a great example to us. Jesus is a greater example. It is Jesus who rescues and saves by dying on the cross in our place that we might be forgiven. It is Jesus who performed signs and wonders to show that he was God. Daniel was rescued from the power of the lions. Jesus, like countless multitudes of his people, died for his obedience to the Father. Chapter 11, verse 33 says, "Those who are wise will instruct many, though for a time they will fall by the sword, or be burned, or captured, or plundered." Daniel was rescued. That was God's will. Often, it's God's will for his people to fall by the sword, or be burned, or captured, or plundered. Jesus walked this path before us. But it did not end there. Daniel was rescued from the lions. Jesus was rescued from death itself. He was raised on the third day. And if we will follow him, we too will be resurrected on the final day when Jesus returns in his glory. Remember the faithful servant. Reject the feeble king. Rejoice in the God who is to be feared. Will we remember Daniel, the faithful servant? Will we remember Jesus, God's ultimate servant? Will we learn from this feeble king that God alone is to be feared? Is there someone intimidating you? Someone pressurizing you not to live for Christ? Remember this story. Remember that God wins. Remember that He has the power and He alone is to be feared. Let's pray. Father, we are very impressed by Daniel, that he prayed and remained faithful to you despite enormous pressure. And more than that, Lord, we thank you for Jesus and for his example. And we pray, Lord, that we would fear you alone and live for Christ. Lord, we know that there's no one else we can turn to other than Jesus. He alone died on the cross and paid for our sin that we might be forgiven. Help each one of us to trust him for salvation and then trust him and obey him day by day as we go through life, so that, Lord, we may win back this society for you. In Jesus' name, amen.